Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic, 8:01 on a Tuesday night on the eve of Sixers basketball. Welcome to the show as we broadcast from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock on this Tuesday night. And we say the eve of the Sixers season. The NBA starts tonight. How about Christmas holiday, right? It's Friday. Everybody's all great. You know, Bob Cooney walking around with a Christmas Santa hat on. He's looked fantastic. Sixers Santa hat on. It's all great. But it was great to share the microphone and some time with Bob Cooney and D. Lynam for Beers with Bob, the Sixers special preview show as the season gets underway for the 72-game season. So good that we said, Bob, you know what? You worked 4 hours this morning plus these two that you just did. D. Lynam decided to stick around for a little bit as we talk some hoops and are joined by Tyrese Maxey in 8 minutes, the Sixers' new fan favorite, D. Lynam. Thanks for hanging around. How you doing, D?
Who doesn't like to play in the overtime?
Little overtime right there. We have so much still to talk about and everything with this team. Yes, we talked about Tobias Harris, Danny Green, Seth Curry, the bench, and all the coaching staff. Daryl Morey a little bit, but as we look at this team, D, and we run until 10 o'clock, we'll take some phone calls as well, 610-632-0975. D, just as we spoke about with Bob, the excitement overall with this team right now, just because of a few changes that aren't necessarily player-related, yes, because of the shooting, but more so because of what they've done with the coaching staff and then, of course, the front office.
That there is a rejuvenation to that which is coming back, and then some new thoughts being put into it because you have new leadership and new ideas. I think that combination, and then the fact that you went out and changed your roster.
Yes.
To a very, you know, significant degree. Unloading an Al Horford contract was big. And I do feel like it wasn't Al Horford's fault that it didn't work. He took the contract. He knew the role he was going to play. Personally, I always felt he was best at the five. Mm-hmm. I don't know why he thought playing the four alongside a Joel Embiid would work. But I think that was, honestly, when we talked about a big... That move in itself was huge. And the other moves don't necessarily happen unless you move out. And so that might be the most significant thing that was done.
Yes.
In the offseason.
Absolutely. Because you do that, that enables you to bring in Danny Green, who was traded from Los Angeles to Dennis Schroeder to Oklahoma City. Then he comes right here with that trade with Al Horford. Mm-hmm. And that starts everything else. Look, Seth Curry may have happened anyway. But to your point, the Al Horford thing had to happen first in order for you to make any other move. And that one worked out very well.
And the dynamic
Sixers.
Changed mm-hmm. in moving that contract.
Mm-hmm.
Instantly changed who you could be, the way you were going to play. Because last year, it did not work at all.
Yes.
And that wasn't going to change if Al's still here.
Right, right. So we have a lot of questions for you guys tonight. Again, 610-632-0975 as we get ready to speak to Tyrese Maxey, the Sixers rookie from Kentucky in 5 minutes. He will join us at 8:10. And I tell you guys, if you did not hear him on the morning show, if you did not hear him post-game after the Celtics game on Tuesday a week ago tonight, you want to tune in because this guy has a lot of energy. He is exciting, just like he is on the floor. If you fell in love with him on the floor, you'll love how he has a chance to speak as well. So Tyrese Maxey, 5 minutes, will join us on the Comcast Business Hotline. So D, when as I And we want to ask everybody your questions about the team in general, your excitement level going into how different is this for you going into this season versus last season? Because, D, not a lot of people like those moves with both Richardson and Horford coming in, seeing the clutter that is there, if you will, with what was going on at the five because of Embiid and Horford and all of that. A lot of people didn't like that, especially with Jimmy Butler leaving, J.J. Redick moving out. The Al Horford part really soured a lot of people. But once they saw them play, winning at home, 29-2, oh, they'll correct things on the road. 29-2, that's real. That would happen. This stuff on the road, that's correctable because that's not real. But now coming in again, there's just this different feel about it all. But I have questions about the bench, the sixth man, your bold predictions of the season for people. And one of the things that we didn't get into with that with Bob was, I think Ben Simmons has a chance to be defensive player of the year.
He'll try. It's based, so hard.
It is hard. But it Gary is hard, Payton especially did, with Gary reputation.
Payton, yep. Gary yeah. Payton did it as a guard. Michael Jordan won it once.
But he's not typical. He's not a typical guard,
he's not,
right?
I agree.
He's a basketball player. He's
right.
Not necessarily just a guard. And he will tell you, Doc Rivers told Bob and Jamie and Pat this morning that he, again, is a basketball player. Don't put that label on that he's a point guard and everything else, even though his dad would tell us all the time he was a point guard. But
he groomed him to be one.
Exactly. Every time he played, give the ball to my son. He needs to have the ball. He's the best player with the ball in his hands. But looking at this one as a whole, D, and all that they have done, and now we get ready for the start tomorrow. And I love that it's at home, by the way, because it's, even though there are no fans, just has a, the feel there is right for them to start at home against Washington, and we love the Boston, New York, all of that. But looking at this one, who, if we speak of Embiid and Simmons and even Harris being the top three scorers, but I don't exclude Harris in this either. Who would you, outside of Simmons and Embiid, because that's a given, needs to elevate their game more under a Doc Rivers system for this team to be where you put them at the four spot, Bob at the three, myself at the four as well, as we get ready for this season?
I guess for elevating their game, I'm going to say Thybulle, right? So Thybulle has to be a key contributor to that reserve group, in my opinion. And when I say that, I'm not going to put a how much he has to score, but he's got to be reliable. I've had a full year under my belt because Danny Green, we know, right? Seth is going to score buckets. Are we expecting them to grow into bigger than what they were on their last stage with their last teams?
Mm-hmm.
I personally don't. I'm not expecting different from those two guys. And I think Dwight is Dwight, and that's great. At 35 years old,
right, right.
What he's bringing to the table. So if I'm asking somebody to elevate, it would either be a Shake Milton, but Shake, I think, his game is going to be elevated by the freedom and the belief in the game that we did see when he was in that role. So Thybulle's my guy.
All right. Well, here's a guy that we're excited to hear about, and we'll actually speak to him now. Joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline, bounce forward, the rookie from Kentucky, a new fan favorite. Even without having fans in the building, they've already fell in love with this guy, and we're excited to see him, and we thank him for joining us on this Tuesday night, taking some time away. Tyrese Maxey, welcome to the show with Devon Givens and D-Line. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm good. Thank y'all for having me.
No, thank you, man, for taking the time out and joining us. People already love you here. And all you have to do is just keep that energetic personality and then take it to the floor, and it'll keep just growing there. But listen, man, I have to ask you, on the eve of your first debut, NBA debut regular season, how are you feeling right now? You had the taste with the preseason, of course, all these practices and working out with your teammates and with your coaches there. How are you feeling right now on the eve of your NBA debut?
I feel great. I got to, like you said, practice today, walk through some different things, came to the room and relaxed for a little bit, went back to the gym around 6 and went through a little routine that I always like to go through night before the game since I've been in high school. And now I'm just laying here with my mom and dad, just relaxing and watching some the Brooklyn Nets and the Warriors right now. So I'm pretty good right now, in a good place, and I'm just ready to, you know, help the team.
Oh, you got to tell us, man. You already spilled it a little bit. What's the routine since high school through college and now pros?
Man, just same old, going through your form shooting. Going through my form shooting, trying to break the sweat and just getting ready for the game for the next day.
Tyrese, this is D, and I hope I get to meet you in person one day down the road. But I know for a lot of rookies, it's important as they go through a season to just have somebody who's been around, been there on that roster, who maybe they can, you know, take advice. I know everybody wants to help, but like, for instance, last year, I think for Thybulle, Tobias Harris became a really reliable person for him to talk to and learn from. Do you have somebody that you kind of gravitated to early on here?
Yeah, like you said, I think all the guys are extremely helpful for sure. Everybody on the roster, even Matisse being, just one year of experience, a little more than me. But Tobias is my locker mate. You know, he's right next to me. So, of course, he's always in my ear helping me for sure. And Mike Scott was the first person I met on the team when I got down here, other than Ben. I knew Ben for a while. So I think those three guys, Mike Scott, Ben, Tobias, and even Dwight. Dwight's very vocal. It's his first year with the Sixers as well, but he's very vocal. He's been in the league for a while. He's coming off a championship. And those four guys, and everybody, but those four guys for sure, you know, they've been very helpful.
Tyrese Maxey joining D-Line and Devon Givens here on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward. Tyrese, as you talked about, and I take you back to your first game, your game against the Boston Celtics in game one of the preseason. And right away, you know, and I'll tell you like this. I've seen you, of course, from your days at Kentucky, being able to watch you. And I had a personal reason to watch Kentucky in the first place, which was Khalil Whitney, right? So, and you know, family thing that's there, and I'm like, all right, let me check in and see what Khalil's doing. And I see you, and you stand out. And now that you're here and knowing your game at this point, what I've taken away from it was this, the energy that you bring, both offensively and defensively, and what you are able to do. And I saw the exact same thing in the fourth quarter of the Boston game. You came right in, and I'm like, Tyrese, slow down just a little bit. And then you got comfortable and you started to get into your groove. So how was that for you? And when you got in there, were you so energized? Would you feel under control with everything, and then it kind of settled down?
No, you hit the spot on. You know, the jitters were, you know, of course, early, as soon as I, you know, my name was called, and of course you're going to have those jitters. But like you said, after maybe a minute or a minute and a half, I kind of settled in and I realized, you know, I put the work in. So I trust my work and I trust my passion for the game and I trust my competitive spirit to go out there and do what I've always done. So like you said, once I got those jitters out the way, I was good. And even the next game, I felt like I was pretty good as soon as I got in. Just having those first game jitters out the way, you know, no fans, but still, I mean, you're in the NBA for the first time and you're playing and, you know, you work so hard to get there. Like you said, you had those jitters and I had that same mindset. I had to slow down and start playing.
Tyrese, actually, there's the good and bad of having to play in the pandemic for a rookie. The bad is that you don't get to experience what that NBA debut feels like with a Philadelphia fan base, which I don't know if your teammates have told you, but it's pretty special, and led to a 29-2 record last year at home. But the good is that tomorrow night really shouldn't feel any different than that Boston game for you, because it's just another NBA game, and now you already have two under your belt. Do you think it will be more of the latter than it would be the former?
You know, you're right. But, you know, this game has, you know, a little bit more magnitude to it. It's a regular season game. You know, it counts to the record. You're right. The Eastern Conference team kind of try to get a little edge over them. So I think, you know, like you said, it's a bummer that we can't have the fans, but, like you said, it's a plus and a minus, but I feel like I like playing in front of fans. So, but yeah, I'm still excited either way. No fans or not. I'm just glad we're able to play and can't wait to go out there and compete tomorrow.
Tyrese Maxey joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. D-Line, I'm Devon Givens. And you mentioned your relationship, Tyrese, with Ben Simmons already, and he's spoken very highly of you. You already have the backing of LeBron James as well. And as a basketball player or any athlete, you always look for that acceptance of your peers, and then for the top guys to do so, an all-star and arguably the best player in the game as well to do so. You know, what does that do for you with your confidence, knowing that, as you said, you've put the work in, you know what you have to do, but you ultimately have to do it. But then to have the backing of those guys like LeBron James, like Ben Simmons, who's now your teammate, how easy is that? How does that make you feel in terms of your work and make it easier for you once you actually go out there and do it, even though you still have to back it up?
Yeah, of course. I think having guys like LeBron and Ben and Rondo, it's always great to have guys like that to lean on, even when, you know, times are not going great. You can call them. I can call them up and ask them my questions that I have, and I'm pretty sure that, you know, they'll help me through those moments. So, like you said, it's really good to have guys like that. But like I've been saying, man, I put the work in, so I have that confidence in myself. And you know, even if they didn't have the confidence in me, which I'm glad they do, I still have that confidence in myself because I was in the gym, you know, 6 a.m. every single day this summer. You know, multiple times workouts a day. And once you get the confidence, you build your own confidence, and you know that you can go out there and do it. You know, the rest is history.
And how different was this? This is the first time, obviously, being drafted, but normally you go through the process of a tournament in the SEC, then the tournament with the NCAA tournament, then you go through your individual workouts, your team workouts, and all. But you still were able to get it in. How different was that? Even though you didn't have to do it the other way like many, right. But how was that for you this summer, where you expected one thing but ultimately had to adjust to what you wound up doing?
Yeah, I mean, that's the crazy part about it. Like, I tell people, like, this is our first time going through it. You know, these people who got drafted this year, it's our first time, so we don't know
right
what it was like. So I can't really relate to how it would have been to sit in the green room or to fly, you know, state to state, team to team, and do the different workouts, or even playing a tournament, because I've never experienced this. So I don't know what it feels like. But it's crazy, just like on the outside looking in, saying, man, you know, you look at it one way, like, oh man, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and then none of that happens, and everything changes. So, you know, I'm just blessed to be here, blessed and thankful, you know, and really ready to compete, like I said.
Tyrese, I'm curious, when tomorrow's game is over, and let's just be optimistic, and it's a W for the team as a whole, then when you look at your own personal performance, how will you judge yourself? What will you look at to say, you know, all right, I did my job?
I will look at the final score of the game.
Okay, so I said a W.
Yeah, the final score of the game. As long as if we got the W, and you know, I went there, stayed solid, and helped my teammates, I think that's going to be a win for me. No, I'm not really looking at the stats. At the end of the day, like you said, if we're on the winning side of that, that's all that matters.
So what do you already know about your role as we start game one of the regular season?
I just know that whenever my number's called, I'll be solid and do whatever Coach Doc needs me to do out there on the floor. And, you know, when I'm off the court, you know, be the biggest cheerleader, which I feel like I will be. And I'm cheering on my guys. You know, I know the hard work that they put in, and that means just as much as being on the court.
Tyrese, one more thing for me. Do you enjoy playing defense? Because a lot of times guys who play defense and get after it, like the highlight show that you do, you can only be that way if you actually enjoy the challenge of it. Do you feel that way?
Yes, I really do. Like, in practice, I get the guard Ben, and it's amazing. I enjoy taking on that challenge and guarding, you know, other guys' best players and other people's, you know, people who score and has it going. I enjoy taking on that challenge because, you know, defense is how you win. And I really, really like to win. You know, my dad taught me at an early age that, you know, defense wins championships. And he was like, you said you like winning, then you got to play defense. And ever since then, I've been big on the defensive end because, like I said, I like to win. I'm very competitive in whatever it is. And when it comes to basketball, you have to play defense to win. So, you know, like you said, I really enjoy doing it.
And offensively, final question for us here with Tyrese Maxey on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward. Offensively, though, we have seen some stuff from the your dribble drive, able to get to the lane, to the painted area, your floater, your runner, you know, any teardrop that you have. You seem like you have the whole package there, and it has worked so far in these games against Boston and Indiana. Can you tell the people who may not have had a chance? Because a lot of people, Tyrese, as you pointed out, the tournaments and all, they really get to know a lot of players once they lock into the NCAA tournament or the conference tournaments. But maybe for the people who don't necessarily know your game offensively, as you just laid it out defensively for D, your offensive game, you know, what is it overall that you feel is your strength and maybe even something that you can continue to improve on as you step into the NBA?
You know, I feel like I can improve every single day. My thing is with improving, I've always told people I want to get 1% better every single day. And I grew up knowing that, like, my junior, senior year, that I was only going to be, 6'3". So that's as tall as I was going to get. But now I know that getting into the lane, shooting over guys that are 7 foot and 6'11 with those wingspans, I knew I was going to have to switch it up. I wasn't going to always be able to get to the lane and, you know, shoot just straight on layups. I'm going to have to find ways to make different touch shots, different runners, different floaters, different difficult shots, you know, make those shots become easy because of the hard for defenders to block. And then just expanding my game, shooting the three, knocking down mid-range jump shots, coming off pick and roll, creating for my teammates, doing different things like that.
And I have to ask this one. I lied. One more. Who's the loudest in the gym? Because you talked about Dwight. He's very vocal. I can look at Tobias. He's vocal. I also look at the sideline and say Sam Cassell has always
pretty
been
vocal.
Known to be vocal. Who's the loudest in the gym?
Oof. Sam is pretty loud.
I see.
So Sam is definitely pretty loud. But, you know, Dwight's extremely vocal. Like you said, and Tobias is pretty vocal as well. I try to be, you know, as vocal as I can be. Just, you know, communication is a big part of basketball. So I try to get in there as well. But I think that's one thing that we're really good at as a team is communicate with each other, communicate what we see out on the floor and film and different things like that.
All right, man. Well, listen, I know you're with your family, and we want to let you relax on the eve, watch this Golden State-Brooklyn game as well. And your dad, you know your dad, does he know how popular he's been since the draft and all the stuff you guys did, you know, pre-draft that was shown on the telecast with you guys hyping you up and all?
Yeah, he knows a little bit, man. We're going to have to give him a jersey that says Hype Dad. You know, that's what he wants. So I'm going to find a way to get him one that says Hype Dad. I mean, it's crazy because he really enjoyed doing that, and I can't wait to see him in the game. It's going to be fun.
Well, I'm sure it's pretty easy to get that done with the great staff that you have there with the 76ers. Tyrese, we're excited to see you and your team start things off tomorrow right here on the Sixers Radio Network, 97.5 The Fanatic, and we cannot wait to see what you do as well for the city. So listen, man, good luck tomorrow. Good luck the rest of the season. And hopefully we get to see you in person and we'll talk to you down the line. Thanks so much for your time.
Soak it in, Tyrese.
Will do. Thank y'all so much. I really appreciate y'all having me. Y'all have a nice night.
You as well. Thank you, man. Tyrese Maxey joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward. Fantastic.
By the way, Hype Dad, I mean, I'm ready to make this shirt for him. We had one that was, that's my boy. I mean, Hype Dad.
Yeah,
absolute.
How about that?
Come
yeah,
on,
that's great. So, again, thanks so much to Tyrese for joining us. Thanks to D Lino for stepping in for another 24 minutes here to start off the show.
It's a treat for me.
Oh, man,
come on.
And we'll get to your phone calls as well. 610-632-0975. Your reaction to Tyrese Maxey, our conversation with him. Any leftovers, things left on the bone from beers with Bob, with D Lineman and Bob Cooney. We'll talk about it when we get back. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, First of all, I don't know what they list him as, but it's wrong. He's bigger than that. He's stronger. He's faster. He has almost an unguardable gear that he can get to. So trying to get him in that gear more will be my task. And, you know, he does have Magic Johnson vision or LeBron James vision.
Doc Rivers on with the morning show. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan this morning. Great stuff there. You know how I feel about Ben Simmons. Yes, he handles the ball like a point guard for sure. But I always say, I think the guy's a basketball player, not necessarily putting a label on him. We keep things going here tonight as we follow Beers with Bob Cooney and D. Lineham. Thanks, Bob Cooney, again for having me on with D. Lineham as well as we preview the 76ers season. And with that, we do the exact same with you here tonight as we preview the remainder of the season here, right here on the Fanatic on this Tuesday night, on the eve of the start of the 2021 campaign. 610-632-0975. Before we get to Richard, who's been hanging on, I just want to lay out a few more things as we were talking about the season in general, the team, the adjustments that they've made with both the front office, the coaches, the players. You guys know how I am, I think, at this point. Anybody new knows that I'm a big Ben Simmons guy, Joel Embiid as well. But I do look with a critical eye from time to time if it's presented. I'm not looking for it. It stands out to us when we talk about the negatives with the team, most certainly the positives as well with the teams. That's what we want to talk about, are those positive things. And as Bob asked the question really in the first hour that we had about what is different from what we saw in the bubble when they exited to where we are right now on this December 22nd on Tuesday. And it really does stand out with not only the personnel changes, but the fact that the energy, the excitement level, we generally, since the rebuild, have come into these seasons with excitement. J.J. Redick and Amir Johnson, mainly J.J. Redick, but adding people, quality veterans who can add to your team, they are people who you have locked on in during those off seasons. The next season, J.J. Redick returns, Amir Johnson as well, but very early, you go and make that move for Jimmy Butler, and that clearly stands out. You move on from guys that you were accustomed to seeing grow with this franchise in Covington and Šarić. You move on from them. Okay, it hurts, but you have to give up a first-round pick and those guys to get Jimmy Butler, to get a player of that caliber to take that next step. And that's what that's what Elton Brand was telling you. That's what Brett Brown and Elton Brand in that front office was telling you. We are ready to do something different. Elton Brand, I remember, clearly stating, we did it one way this past summer, where it was the shooting. Bellinelli, Ilyasova, JJ was already here as well. Now it's time to try something different. There were some who were very high on the Horford Richardson acquisitions. There were others who were very low on those two acquisitions last offseason. But for the most part, if I'm reading things correctly, unanimously, people were on board with what they have done this offseason. So the overall scope of this 76ers organization, I have not heard anyone. I think I've heard one person say that they were going to win the NBA championship. Other than that, I've heard they're going to be very, very good. They are not done. They're still going to do more to complete this basketball team. But I have a new sense of hope as I look at this squad. And that's what I've heard the most about the 76ers since they made the moves, starting with Doc Rivers and then with Daryl Morey, ultimately moving on from Al Horford, bringing in Danny Green, Seth Curry, Terrence Ferguson, Tyrese Maxey, Dwight Howard, on and on and on, Isaiah Joe, Paul Reed, everybody that they brought in, pretty much a thumbs up across the board. I have questions, but I'm willing to see this thing play out because I believe in the people that are making the decisions. And if I believe in them, I'm expecting, once again, like I always do, all-star Joel Embiid, All-Star Ben Simmons to now take that next step of their growth and elevation as players and as franchise cornerstones to a different level. If they do not, we will talk about them the way that we are supposed to talk about them when it's time to at the end of the season if they don't get things right this season. It may not end up in a championship. It may end up in a sweep in the Eastern Conference Finals. We may be disappointed, but we'll look at, like I always like to say, again, new listeners may not have heard and all of that. How did it happen? When I talk about these shows with the Eagles and the Sixers and Flyers, Phillies, whatever, Tyler loves it, and I know he did a show himself. Show the work. How did it happen? They showed us the work. How did it happen? Let's evaluate it from there. And for me, at this point on the eve of the Sixers 21-21 campaign, I like what they've done. I really like what they've done. They are not complete. I do not think as of yet that they are a championship team, but they are in the right path of being that type of team that we all want to see from them. So as we do this show here now for the hour and a half that we have until 10 o'clock on this Tuesday night, Sixers play tomorrow, 7 o'clock right here, 97.5 The Fanatic, hosting Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook, the Washington Wizards. I ask you, where are you in terms of your level of excitement from when the offseason started to the eve of the start of the season? I have specific questions that I want to throw to you. And at the end of your phone call, I also want from you, if you don't mind, I want a bold prediction for the 76ers this season. Mine? Say it. I was on with my friend Paul Hudrick on this podcast. Make sure you guys check it out. My bold prediction is Ben Simmons as the defensive player of the year for the 72-game season this season. D-Linen pointed out that's not easy to do as a guard. But like I said, he defends centers, wings, and guards. He's not just a guard. He's only a guard when it comes to putting together the All-Star team and putting together the All-NBA team, All-Defensive teams, where you have to maybe have a certain title next to your name as to what type of position you play for your team. My bold prediction, Defensive Player of the Year for Ben Simmons. I believe so much in his ability as a defender, and he will be challenged. Not that he wasn't with Brett Brown, but like D and Bob pointed out, like we've all talked about throughout the last two seasons, ultimately, unfortunately for Brown, ending his run here, maybe the voice was gone. So when you are already that good, sometimes you need something else to kind of push you over the top. And if it was Brown, if it was Emi Udoka or Kevin Young, maybe it just wasn't there anymore. And now with Rivers, Howard, Cassell, Jaeger as that defensive coach, Dan Burke, in his ear, that will push him over the top to be not only a great defender, but also a great overall player to tap into the things that the previous regime could not get overall from him. So your overall outlook of the Sixers, what they were at the end of the bubble to where they are now, how do you feel? Where do you have them at the end of the season? Your predictions? And of course, asking you for a bold prediction. Doesn't have to be a player. Could be the Eastern Conference Finals. Could be not making the playoffs. Could be the NBA Finals. Could be Ben Simmons gets traded for James Harden. Could be that the Sixers trade for James Harden without having to give up Simmons or Embiid because the market has dried up, because he's throwing basketballs at teammates in practice now and it's already toxic and they have to get rid of him with 5 cents on the dollar. So whatever it is, 610-632-0975. And before we do that, we see Richard. We're going to start with you. Everybody else, we're coming to you as well. 610-632-0975. I have to say good evening to Tyler Zuli, who's been producing the show since 6 with Beers on Bob. And bring him in here and ask him the question to start it off before we do so with Richard here. Ty, good evening, and What are your answers here?
Devon, how are you? First off, I got to tell you guys, that show that you, the 2 hours that you guys just put together, you, D, Bob, was so entertaining and so informative. And I know that I you could say, oh, well, you're our producer, you're supposed to say that. But the depth of knowledge that you three brought over the course of 2 hours was fantastic.
I appreciate it. And on their behalf, I'll say that. And I'll say this quickly before you get into your thing and we get to Richard. Sometimes I sit here and I'm like, really, I'm about to do a show with Bob Cooney and D. Lightham? Because I've always looked at them as those people that I followed and watched their work and ultimately getting into the business. And their acceptance for me, they know it at this point, but I'll say it again while they're listening on their rides home. And you just saying that them accepting me as one of them is one of the highlights of my career in doing this. That they believe that, you know, I'm on par with them. So that is just, that's just me. You know me. I'm not just throwing out fluff. That's just who I am. I've always admired what they've done. Bob will tell you, I've asked him many questions and how to do this, how you do that, how you cover this team, how you do that. And he was always gracious in doing so. But that being said, I thank you. It was fun to be with them. D. Lightham is going to give us a treat now as we do In the Post every night. D. Lightham, Tyler, is going to be part of In the Post for the second segment every night following the Sixers game, barring it not being too late. D. Lightham is going to join us for a few minutes every night in the post on the phone. So that's going to be a fun part of new wrinkle to In the Post going forward.
Well, and that, all that means is you have, you know, 8 or 10 minutes less to listen to my voice, which is just a win-win for everybody.
Didn't do it for that reason. We'll get you in there.
To answer your question, though, I've got one. I think that's a little more holistic NBA outlook and one that is Sixers specific. Which one would you like first?
Sixers specific,
okay.
First.
So the Sixers specific one is with this new offense and with the, I guess, the attention that of course is going to be put on Joel Embiid and the attention that we expect to be put on Ben Simmons. My bold Sixers prediction for the year is that Tobias Harris is an NBA All-Star this season.
Whoa.
Because he becomes option number three. And I think that, like you guys talked about, if he can add that additional three and get to that 21-22 mark, I think that that is All-Star worthy. And I think that he's going to get the third, you know, the third best defender because of the other two.
Wow. An All-Star.
Yes.
You add Kevin Durant to the Eastern Conference, you know, that wing potential. You add Drew Holiday to the Eastern Conference as a do-it-all type of player as well. That is definitely something as you look at Tobias Harris locking down an All-Star spot. Okay, bold prediction. That's what we're asking for.
I think, too, you do add two, but you also lose one because Kemba Walker probably will not play much, so he probably will not be an All-Star this year.
But you might also add Jaylen Brown.
You could.
Yeah.
You're right.
He was right there.
You're right. And that plays right into my holistic NBA bold prediction is that this is a team that I think that doesn't get enough credit, I guess, when you talk about the Eastern Conference as a whole because of Milwaukee and the Nets at the top specifically. My bold prediction for the Eastern Conference is that the team that represents the Eastern Conference is, in fact, going to be the Boston Celtics.
Wow, okay. That's a bold prediction. So that's what we're asking you, 610-632-0975. How do you feel about this team as they get ready to get started tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, here on the Sixers Radio Network, home of the 76ers. They host Bradley Beal, Russell Westbrook, and the Washington Wizards to kick off their campaign. Your thoughts on the team right now from where they were to where we sit right now as we start the season, your bold prediction, and where are they at the end of the season as well. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock here on this Tuesday night. And Tyler Zulli is producing the show. Right now, we start things off in North Philly as Richard tips things off for us with this program right here on the Fanatic. Rich, thanks so much for hanging on, man.
How you doing, Devon? I like the pregame show that you did with Bob and D. Lightham, and I think it brought out, you know, a lot of good stuff there. Myself, I like the Sixers team. I'm very enthused and excited about the offseason moves, you know, the coaching and staff and, you know, and like the team in general, myself. And I think that we keep the team together, we stay focused. You know, the word that the Sixers, you know, the words can, you know, make some leaps and bounds there in the Eastern Conference. And I think that maybe with Tobias Harris and maybe with Matisse Thybulle will develop, maybe,
You know, the words that the Sixers can be, or no, a real force there in an Eastern Conference. Me, myself, I picked the Sixers for third behind Milwaukee and Miami. And I had the Sixers going to the conference finals against Milwaukee and losing out. In other words, that's the way I see the Sixers, because I believe the Sixers are more deeper than Boston, Toronto, you know the words. You know, and when they do play Brooklyn, I think they can match up with Brooklyn, you know, pretty decent, you know, with Brooklyn. So I expect the Sixers team to be together. I don't expect no real big trades or anything like that.
Wow, okay, third and advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yes.
And
losing to
the Milwaukee Bucks. But that's a big step, because right now I don't have them. Now I'll ask you this.
Okay.
Is this the final team that we will see at the end of the year? And I don't mean little pickups here or there. I mean something significant. It doesn't have to be a James Harden, but it could be just as important as a Marco Bellinelli type, Ilyasova pickup that they had a few seasons ago. Is this the final roster that they will have?
To me, I think they might pick up one more player. I would hope maybe like a Zach LaVine or someone like
that's,
that.
But see, that's significant.
yeah, significant. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, but I do think they probably would get another player.
All right, you got it, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Well, in the Western Conference, they got the Lakers. The Lakers and the Denver Nuggets are very the teams, though. But I still right now think the Lakers are still the top. But anyway, the Clippers, I don't know, they're falling back a little bit, you know the words. Now, what about Golden State? Is Golden State coming around to healing, you know, with Klay Thompson? Do you know if they're coming around already?
Well, right now they're getting rocked by the Brooklyn Nets. So, and it's funny because I was talking to them before they left. That's a big loss, Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
And, you know, Draymond Green is not out there, so maybe a little unfair to really do so. But they're starting a rookie center. They have a few new pieces with Kelly Oubre. Eric Pascal was starting right now. I don't know that will be the case when Draymond Green gets back. Steph Curry out there as well. This is, as much as I have loved what they've done over the years, that dynasty that they had and all of that, I would stand here on this show, man, so many times and take these gut punches from people because I like what they've done. I don't think that they're back, because Klay Thompson means so much to that team. It's hard to replace Klay Thompson. Kevin Durant is now in Brooklyn. So what I think is they'll be right on the edge of making the playoffs in the Western Conference, because it's tough. And I agree with you. I think Los Angeles comes out of the West.
Okay, thanks, man.
You got it, Rich. Right. You got it, man. Appreciate it. Happy holidays to you. Really appreciate it. Yeah, that's Golden State. That's their thing. But as a basketball fan, I know a lot of people didn't like it. But if you look back on it now that it's taken away from us, that was enjoyable basketball. And I know people wanted to see them lose, but that adds to it. It's so enjoyable, and they are so much of a video game right now. You want to see them lose. And I was not one of them. I wanted to see them win because of that. Do your job, put together a team, and beat them. That's what Daryl Morey tried to do. Unfortunately, they fell short. Chris Paul with the hammy. James Harden could not get them over the top. But he didn't quit. And I know that's what a lot of people, I looked around the league, and I was like, well, do something about it. Right? They found a wrinkle. It worked. Do something about it. Sam Hinkie found a wrinkle. He wanted it to work. Many people thought it would work. All right. Now, when they do put together the team that they do, beat the Sixers too. So, I think they are going to be at the bottom of the West. L.A. comes out of it. And as far as the Sixers, listen, he said they are going to be in the Western Conference, and a bold prediction, because they are not going to finish this season with the roster the way it is. Zach LaVine is going to be a 76er. How about that? Huh? 610-632-0975. John and everybody else, hang on, John. We're going to come to you first. I don't want to cut you short. I want to give you all your time as we take this quick break. 610-632-0975. On the eve of the Sixers starting their season, what do you guys think of your basketball team as they get ready to kick off their 2021 campaign tomorrow night against the Washington Wizards? Your season prediction, and if you will, a bold prediction as well for this basketball team. I have them at 44-28 in the fourth spot in the Eastern Conference. I have Ben Simmons as the defensive player of the year for the entire NBA. What is your bold prediction? Tobias Harris is an all-star for Tyler Zuli. What is your bold prediction for the Philadelphia 76ers as a team or as an individual player? Where does that stand for you? 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you. Tyrese Maxey, the interview. At some point, you'll have an opportunity to hear that on our podcast. It's already on the website because Tyler Zuli is great. It's on our website already. You can check it out, the podcast. Tyrese Maxey, the Sixers rookie. Fantastic guy to talk to. If you missed it, check it out. 975thefanatic.com. We'll be back. Take your phone calls. John, we start with you here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens. On 975 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
Nine o'clock, 97.5, The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you here on this Tuesday night, the eve of the Sixers starting their 2020 season. The new-look Sixers, led by Doc Rivers. We ask you about your level of excitement for this team, the changes that were made, all of the above. What do you make of this team right now from where they were as they concluded their 19-20 season inside the bubble in Orlando to where they are right now? 610-632-0975. Your final season prediction in terms of where they are record-wise and a bold prediction for this team. Bold prediction, I have Ben Simmons, Defensive Player of the Year. Tobias Harris, an all-star for Tyler Zuli. And what about you guys for the 76ers? 610-632-0975. Another question that I have. Throw these all out because we will not be on before the game because Ron Jaworski's show with special guest Hugh Douglas tomorrow from 6 to tip-off for the 76ers. Brian Seltz on the pregame coverage live from the center. I wanted to ask this because D and Bob were talking about this and I felt the exact same way like D did, thinking that having the two guys start as the shooters, Curry and Green. And I understand it. Have your shooters out there to space the floor for Simmons and Embiid. Right, John? But my thing was Matisse Thybulle starting, giving him the opportunity to start things off as a defender. Yes, you lose offense, but what you bring in with Shake Milton and that other shooter will provide that for the basketball team. Doc Rivers knows way more than I do. So I will go with what he is doing. I'm still excited to see how this whole thing plays out. They will make shots. They did not make them in the preseason. I am not worried. They will make shots. What are you expecting from Seth Curry as a starter? Because this is a new role for him. He has never been a starter. He has started games, and he has started a lot of games. But he has never been the primary starter. He is starting at the two guard spot or, you know, the wing, however you want to put it. Danny Green out there as well. Tobias Harris at the four. Simmons offensively is the one. And we know Embiid man's the middle. He's at the five. What are you expecting from him? Honestly, if you're looking at Seth Curry, great numbers. You heard Bob and Dee and I talking about it during the Sixers preview special where he ranks all time. He is up there. He is phenomenal. He is so good. He has done this without being a primary starter. I'm asking this because with him never doing it, how am I saying this? Are you setting yourself up if he doesn't meet your expectation as a starting two guard? The example I give you, J.J. Redick. He averaged 18 points a game. He shot at a fantastic clip while playing with Joel Embiid. As good as Seth Curry is, he is not and has never been compared to, well, he might have been compared to him because of his shooting and the fact that he did go to Duke and they're both from Duke. He's not J.J. Redick. Redick, his two seasons with the Sixers, 17.1 and 18.1 points per game, respectively. From behind the three-point line, J.J. Redick shot for the seasons 40% and 42%. from behind the three-point line. He put up 6.6 the first season at 42% and 8 a game for that 40% at 397. So, you know, you just round that up to 40%. Is Seth Curry J.J. Redick? Because I don't look at him as a 17, 18 point per game scorer. I look at him as a 12 to 15 max point per game scorer. Is that enough for you with what you expect from Seth Curry? Now, don't minimize what I'm saying. I think he was a phenomenal pickup for this basketball team. I think he will fit very well with this grouping. Should he be the starter? Can he meet your expectation as a starting two guard for the 76ers? Because J.J. Redick left a mark, okay? He left a mark. And if you're going to use him in a lot of different ways, I know Brett Brown isn't here. This is an offense led by Doc Rivers and with what he wants to do, things will look different. I know it. But at the end of the day, the results, we want them to be the same. Over 40% from behind the three-point line. Will that be the case for Seth Curry? What are your expectations for him as he starts his Sixers career tomorrow night? 610-632-0975. And as we finished our night with Tyrese Maxey as a guest, we talked about Doc Rivers on with the morning show, Danny Green on with Mike Missanelli. Seth Curry was on with Anthony Gargano, so you can check that out on 975thefanatic.com as well. So let's go to the phone, 610-632-0975. John in Pottstown next on The Fanatic. John.
How you doing, Devon?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Great show. I love listening to you on my way home from work every night.
Thank you so much.
I am super excited about this Sixers team.
Now, as you say that, before you start to break it all down, where were you at the end of the Orlando bubble to your excitement right now?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I was 3 or 4. At the end of the bubble, probably a 12 now. I just think this team's been put together terrifically. Bold prediction that I agree with you about Ben Simmons being Defensive Player of the Year, but I also think that our both of our young superstars will be in the MVP conversation.
Ooh.
I think we will be the team coming out of the East, and I think we win it outright. The torch has passed from LeBron to the young prince, Ben Simmons.
Now, as is, the team as is, do they make another move that's significant enough for them to make that hurdle? Because you're doing so without it. So are you saying they're going to do that, or they're going to do it as is?
I think they do it as is. Maybe a couple little fringe moves, some depth, but I think Ben takes huge leaps and bounds. I think that he really starts shooting the ball. I think he has the right coach in place. I think it'll challenge him, and I'm pretty excited about it.
Wow, and that's why we're asking, you know, for this exactly. So what makes that leap that you're speaking of happen this season for him? Why this season? Why now?
The players surrounding him. I think Seth Curry is going to be amazing as a starter. I think this is the perfect time for him in his career. I think he's ready for it. I think the supporting cast is just going to take a lot of pressure off Ben, and he will start to shoot because of the less pressure and being able to pass the ball out. I think he'll definitely be an all-star, triple-double machine as always. So I think it's going to be a great year. And Embiid, he'll definitely be in the MVP conversation, and I think they'll be battling it out for one of those spots.
And when Bob laid it out to us that source pointed out that Embiid should average 30-17, I love it. He just has to have that mentality. He says it all the time. We played as a drop. I just want to be dominant, right? That's what he says. Go out there and do it.
And I think he has finally felt enough pain that he's ready to put the work in and do that.
Well, listen, man, John, that's a great call by you. I love the prediction. NBA Finals and the winner of the NBA Finals, your Philadelphia 76ers. John, have a great holiday. Thanks for the call, man. Really appreciate it.
You too, man. Happy holidays. Be safe out there.
Same to you. Thank you, man. Really appreciate that. I just want to be dominant is what he always says, right? I just want to be dominant. And the thing is, While it's a great call, I say this a lot because we hear it a lot. I'm tired of hearing it. Just go out there and do it.
Well, it's like you always say.
Show your word.
Your work.
Show your word.
It's time.
It is time.
Not just for him, though.
Simmons, Embiid.
I think Tobias,
Harris,
too.
Once you get that contract and you sign that contract and you underperform like you did, the regular season is the regular season. Put up your 19. Okay. I'm going to criticize your 19 because it's not enough. It's not good enough. But when you get into the postseason, your other franchise guy goes down. You have to step it up. And he did not. He knows it. Now, how does he come back and respond to it?
I think it's fair to say that 19 a lot of nights was hollow.
It's easy for him. It's easy, 19. All right, show me more. Or maybe we're putting too much on him as a 19-point-per-game scorer where we're asking him for that 19 and doing something about it, right?
Well, I don't think that it's fair for all of us to say that we are putting too much on him because, like you just said,
okay,
the minute you put pen to paper and sign that big contract, expectations raise. Expectations have raised for him. They've raised for Joel Embiid. They are raised for Ben Simmons now as well. Obviously, the Horford contract goes off the books, but that's why the expectations for Horford were there too, because you put pen to paper, mm-hmm, you are expected to do certain things.
100%. 100%. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you again until 10 o'clock here on 97.5 The Fanatic. We go next to Caleb in Phoenixville on The Fanatic tonight. Caleb, how you doing?
Good, man. Devon, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. So, just like John and Potson, I'm very excited for the Sixers this year. I think it's going to be a big step up for many, many reasons. And my bold prediction is one of two. I'm thinking Shake Milton, Sixth Man of the Year.
If
everybody stays healthy and he doesn't have to move into a starting role, which I still think he'd do well at, but if he stays as a sixth man, I really think he's going to have a good season. Or Korkmaz as a most improved player. I think adding a little bit of weight, expectations and everything, I think those two players are going to have really good seasons.
Wow. I like those, man. What do you see adding that weight with Furkan? But again, what is it about him that makes you feel that they can tap into something different where it opens up his game?
I think coaching is a big thing. And the fact, he was, talked about him not being on the team many times, even talked about him not making the team this year. I think, a little chip on his shoulder, and he knows he's a good player. But with all the people around him, veterans like Danny Green and Steph Curry at this point, I really think he's just gonna break out. And, I think the playoffs are going to be different because we have Doc Rivers as opposed to Brett Brown, and I think we're going to go further than we have. I truly do. I think Joel Embiid's going to play better with Dwight Howard being there as a mature-ish veteran to give him some wise words. I think it's going to be special. I really do.
Oh, I love it, man, because I do have high hopes for the season. I put him at 44-28 with the 72 that we're going to have here instead of the 82 with the new alignment because of the pandemic. So I put him there, but I do put them in a situation where they're going to be a tough out. They should be a tough out every night. And the adding of what the coach is here and what that could do for them, as you just alluded to, that stands out. That really stands out for me. And I cannot wait to see what he is able to do. Not just him, though, right? Not just him in terms of Doc Rivers, because I really thought highly of Dave Yeager enough for him to be the head coach for the team, in my opinion. And then you also go to what Sam Cassell and Dan Burke are adding to the mix as well. This is a good coaching staff. I heard somebody say nationally that this is arguably the best coaching staff in the NBA now.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That's great to hear.
We've got a lot of basketball minds, and it's a big turn from what we had. And I really think it'll show. I truly do. With, the way Philly sports have been going lately, I think it's our time.
Oh, love it, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for checking in, man. Happy holidays, Caleb. And we'll talk to you soon, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, happy holidays to you too. Be safe.
Same, man. Same. Thank you. 610-632-0975. And, man, I can't wait to see what Maxey does. We talked to him already. I can't wait to see now what Tobias Harris does with this team. Joel Embiid showing his work and not just talking about it any longer. Does having a child now help him mature a little bit more? It does that for people. Like, look at what the extent of what people are talking about. We're about to talk to Alex and Cherry Hill, who wants to mention something on Jalen Hurts as well. But, and Alex maybe can weigh in on this as well, and Tyler and everybody else. You know how people have already said, well, maybe Carson Wentz has changed a little bit because his priorities are now different. Where it has gone the other way, where they're just throwing it out there. I am not saying this. This is what we've heard. He is a father now. He is a husband. So before, when they used to say, oh, he was the first one there, 5:30 in the morning, he would beat the coaches. He's always there very early. He's getting his work in, and boom, this is the man, right? This is the man. He's putting in the work. That's why he's going to be great. Well, okay, that's why he's going to be great. People are talking about that being a problem now, right? A problem now that maybe that has changed how he views things with his work, his outlook on his work. I am not saying that's the case. What I am saying is maybe that helps Embiid with his maturity. He has yet to be at the MVP level that Carson Wentz was, while he has been a top 10 player, top 8 player, all-star, all-NBA, all-defense. We are waiting for him to get the team over the threshold. He has not done that. Carson has not done it either, but we know they have already, you know, we know what he did that 17th season. Maybe, just maybe, the maturity issues that we had, the stuff that I would hear, leaving the plane in Milwaukee when it's snowing with slippers on. Dumb. Going onto the floor a lot of times when it's time for practice and shoot arounds with flip-flops on instead of having your sneakers and stuff on. Silly. Training table on the floor eating a cheeseburger while you're getting worked out. Immature. You don't see the best of the best doing it. He is the best of the best, but those other best of the best, we see them night in and night out be the best. I want to see the 28-13, 2.5 blocks Joel Embiid that we saw in 18-19. That's what I want to see. I want to see performances like the Los Angeles Lakers game in 2017-2018, where I still put that at the top of my list as the greatest Joel Embiid basketball games that I have seen in his time on the floor with the 76ers. That 40-plus that he put up on the Lakers, I think it was like 49 and whatever the heck he had out there in L.A., the best game I had seen him play. That's my favorite.
Absolutely dominated. I think it was JaVale McGee was the center that night.
Mm-hmm.
Dominated him.
Now I got to look it up. Go ahead.
I think it was, because I want to say, I don't remember if someone had gotten injured, their starting center, or he was the starting center that year, but I want to say it might have been JaVale McGee. And, I mean, Joel Embiid did everything he wanted on the court that night.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It was 49. No, he had 49 against the Atlanta Hawks for his career high. But he destroyed the Lakers that night. Destroyed the Lakers that night. It was fantastic. And I'm trying to look it up quickly here. It's the 2017-2018 season, 610-632-0975. I have it right here. Give me a second. 46-15 at Los Angeles after he gave the Clippers 32-16 the night, two nights before in L.A. He didn't get caught up in, go in L.A. and go out and hit the streets. No, he went out and put 46-15, 16-19 from the free throw line, 14-20 from the field, 2-3 from deep. Yeah, dominant performance, and they won by 6. Let's go back to the phone, 610-632-0975. Alex and Cherry Hill with us here tonight. What's up, Alex?
Hey, I'd love to answer your question on Seth Curry, but then I really actually called in. I wanted to hear your opinion on two topics really interesting me, on the Sixers and the Eagles really quick.
Okay.
With Seth Curry, I agree with you. I don't think he can probably match J.J. Redick point-wise, but with this roster, I don't think he needs to. I think Doc Rivers can just ride the hot hand. Suddenly, we are so deep at guard. with Shake, you got Korkmaz, you got Tyrese Maxey. I could just see him just, you know, obviously Seth could be the first option, but don't look at him just as a starter. I want to see a platoon there. And I just really do want to see the hot hand being ridden there rather than just forcing, you know, one guy. But
wow,
to ask two questions really quick, I've been really intrigued about seeing Ben Simmons maybe playing without Embiid on the court at center and maybe just putting him around a bunch of shooters. I want to see how realistic you think that is to be used now with all these extra shooters.
I guess I'd just say how often, because we have seen it before, and that's something that I called for a season ago. We saw from time to time the previous season with Brett Brown, and it can work depending on who's that center. Now, are we talking about he's a center against Draymond Green, right? You know what I mean? Or is he a center against Clint Capella, where I think he can match him a little bit, but can he do so against, Jokic out there?
Right,
or Nurkic?
It's matchup dependent. I love it against Golden State. And the other question I wanted to ask you real quick. So Jalen Hurts just did a kind of a fantasy kind of thing. He goes back into the NFL draft next year. Definitely not going number one overall. Definitely not going in the second round. Would you take a top five pick for him? Would you take a top 10 pick for him? And do you think that would be realistic? And that's
you
pretty much all I had.
A trade right now?
Yeah, if you could trade him right now.
If I could get a
what's
top
his value?
Oh, absolutely. If I could, yeah, I would do that. Yeah. I'll keep
do you
Carson
think that's
Wentz.
Realistic?
No, I do not. No.
You see, I'm a mid-round, first-round pick probably then, or would you say predict him?
I don't know that people have seen enough work from him, Alex, to say that.
I agree.
And I look at this one right here, and I'm like, nah, you know, they look at this and say, short sample size, not enough, and I'm not giving you that. We know that you, the Eagles, have a situation where you have to unload one of your two quarterbacks, or think you have to unload one of your two quarterbacks. Alex, thanks so much, man. Happy holidays to you. I really appreciate the phone call. So, no, they're not going to do that. I don't think so. No, 610-632-0975. You were ready to jump through the screen, through the mic screen, through the glass in the producer's studio, snatch the mic from me and answer the question. What were you about to say?
No, I just, I don't think that even if Jalen Hurts were to play unbelievably well against Dallas and unbelievably well against Washington to end the season, I don't think that that would conceivably give you first round return. I don't think that, honestly, I don't know how anybody over four games could give you first round return if you weren't a first round pick to begin with.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't see a conceivable way in which Jalen Hurts would be traded at the end of the season or prior to 2021, regardless if he's the starter or not heading into 2021, I don't think that there's any possibility that the Eagles would trade him before the season started.
Yeah, I don't see it either. I mean, look, that's unfortunately, that's what he's done for a lot of Eagle fans. Number one, because you have to want to get rid of Carson Wentz, or number two, maybe there's some value there for this guy and we can get something for him. But I don't think they're there just yet, man. So let's hang on for a little bit, see where it goes. 610-632-0975. Final segment coming up on the other side. We start with Pete, Connor, D, and everybody else that's there as well. 610-632-0975. Sixers preview. We're keeping it going from Beers with Bob with D Lineham and Bob Cooney. Tyler Zuli and I are keeping it going. We're asking you how you feel about the team on the eve of the start of the season, your bold predictions, and what are your predictions for their record as they get ready to start the season. 610-632-0975. Final segment for us right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that funk of Vaughn Gibbons. 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Final segment for us here on this Tuesday night. Sixers, once again, tomorrow, 7 o'clock, Washington in town to start off the 2021 campaign. Make sure you guys tune in right here. Sixers pregame coverage underway at 6:50 with Brian Seltzer from the Center. That is following the Ron Jaworski Show at 6 o'clock. After the game, we are back in our normal spots here. We go in the post with the following post game, following the Sixers game over the Washington Wizards. Should be a victory, in my opinion. So we'll do that tomorrow. D. Lynam will be a guest starting off the season as my guest to start off the show. So we'll do that every game as well. Well, D will pop in for about 10 minutes or so, give her breakdown of what she saw in the game. And we'll take your phone calls as always. We have a few different wrinkles to our pregame show this season. So we wanted to, you know, up the standards a little bit of what we've been able to do over the last couple of seasons. So we'll bring in the post following the game after every Sixers game. We'll do so. And we hope you like it. We hope you enjoy it. And we hope the Sixers win those games, right? That'd be nice. 72-0. Fantastic. 610-632-0975. Your thoughts on this team as we get ready to start the season, from Rivers to Maury, Brand, the roster, up and down the entire thing, bold predictions, and your season predictions for this basketball team. 610-632-0975. Also, just to let people know who may not know, Thursday, I will be filling in for Mike Missanelli on the Mike Missanelli Show from 2 to 6. Tyler Zuli will be producing the show and for Tyrone Johnson. So we'll have you covered on Thursday, Christmas Eve. Following that, absolutely doing everything tomorrow night in the post. You know we're going to be carrying over some Sixers talk with some Eagles talk as well on Thursday. So make sure you guys tune in if you're looking for us. We will not be here after at 6 o'clock on Thursday. We'll be in 2 to 6 for Mike Missanelli on the Mike Missanelli Show on Thursday, Christmas Eve. All right? All right. Let's go to Pete and Cherry Hill hanging on patiently. We'll get to D and Connor and everybody else there as well. We have a final segment here, so let's go to Pete and run these phone calls. What's up, Pete?
Hello?
Hey, Pete, how you doing?
Oh, hey, how you doing? It's T, like the letter T.
Oh, T, what's going on? That's my apologies, man.
No worries. Hey, I love your question with Seth Curry. I want to answer that. I want to make a comment. I don't, you know, in comparing him to J.J. Redick, I don't think he's going to average as high because, you know, they needed J.J. Redick under Brett Brown to score, you know, average 18 points a game. They don't need Seth Curry. I think another caller said this. They're not going to need him to do that. But I think what you're going to need from him is his efficiency. You know, I think what we can't get from him is under 40% from three. We need him to be above that at, you know, around 40%. Anything less than that, and because his last name's Curry, is a bust. You know, sorry, but you know, and is it me or just in two preseason? Like, okay, so Hurts, you know, he passes our eye test, right? Doc Rivers in two preseason games. Am I getting ahead of myself here? It passed my eye test. Like, I'm so giddy. We got Doc Rivers and that coaching staff. I mean, this is unbelievable. I think that really puts the Sixers in a really good spot right now. I'm not saying they're going to go all the way, but I see light at the end of the tunnel. I think they're going to make some huge strides, and who knows what they can be. I think it's endless under Doc Rivers.
No, I think you're fair in what you're saying. Number one, I also think this too, not knowing or remembering T in any conversation that we had exactly about how you felt about Brett Brown. But I know that that's the case for many people, that anybody who came in when Brett Brown was there before, with all due respect to him, that's how you're going to feel about the next coach. And it just so happens that this is one who has a championship under his belt, who was in another one but lost it in seven games, who was an all-star as a point guard in this league, has had much success as an NBA head coach. So saying he passes your test already, I'm not surprised by that.
And don't forget, last year wasn't easy. You know, I mean, I thought he did. Yeah, they came up short, but I mean, if they lost in the finals, that's still a loss. That's still coming up short. I mean, that's a lot of. I think that like going from like 20 chess pieces to like 10, he's licking his chops right now, Doc Rivers. He's got a good squad with him right now.
No, he does, man. I like this team. I like where they are. I'm excited to see them get underway tomorrow. I really am.
Cool. Thanks for taking my call.
Happy holidays, man. Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Same to you. Let's go to D next on the cell. What's up, D?
Here we go again with you, brother.
My man.
Every time I pick up, I just turn the radio on, and you name everything negative Embiid did. The cheeseburger, this, that. You tell me Tobias Harris not enough, $19.5 million for the money he's getting. but you never mention a guy's name who's in trade talk after trade talk and tell me that 16 and a half.
Oh, you missed it. You missed it. I did it.
When he stayed in Miami away from the team, which you know who. You know why Embiid is focused in L.A.? Listen, let me explain something to you.
Hold on, real quick, because you missed it. I did that already.
Listen, let me tell you something.
No, but see, I'm here, and you know I'm going to let you talk. I'm just saying you didn't hear that part.
You caught on
when I did that part.
Let me tell you the Achilles heel.
Because I'm acknowledging your point. But what I'm asking you to do, even though you didn't hear it, is acknowledge my point. My point is I did that part. You just missed that part. You caught in when it was the Tobias Harris part and the Joel Embiid part. You didn't hear when I said the same thing about Simmons and the things that he needs to do.
Hold on. What if Tyrese Maxey's a star, right?
Yeah.
At the point guard position. What if he's like a superstar, like a Donovan Mitchell? What if he really can really, really, really play?
Yeah.
But we force feed and bend instead of moving him off the point, and Maxey can get his own shot. Got that floater, look good to me, and just got a better feel for the game out there.
Well, I would be calling out the coach saying that he should have him on the floor. Why is he not starting? Because you see this guy budding as a star.
But I hear everybody say Maxey would be a good bench player. I think he has the potential to be a star and a starter and a point guard.
I don't know that yet, I'm excited to see him. I just talked to him, D. I just talked to him. Me and D had him on for 15 minutes. We just talked to him about the excitement level that we have for him.
I'm not worried about Embiid because Doc Rivers gets the best out of his big men. I'm worried about Tobias Harris and Simmons. If Simmons come back with the same, did you see the shot that went over the backboard last preseason game when he was trying to post up a 6'2 player?
Oh, yeah. I was ticked off about that. Yeah.
Okay. If he comes back with that over and over again and passing 3 feet away from the basket instead of shooting a 3-footer, we got to get rid of him.
All right.
He got to go.
All right. Before the season starts, me and you, you're my brother because you know we do this all the time. That's why I love you, because we can fight and fuss.
Yes, you are.
And when we do this. So let's do this before the season starts. Let's clear the air before the season starts. I've already called out him for the stupid pass that he did against the Indiana Pacers when he got in the middle of the lane, turned his back again and threw it across his body to the corner. That was silly and resulted in the turnover. I said the same thing about the play that you're bringing up. I just told D and Bob, D, that I thought that he needs to agree. When I say aggressive Ben Simmons is the best Ben Simmons, I'm pointing out a fact because I'm taking a shot at him because he's not being aggressive enough and being the guy that you are talking about, because I need him to be better because he has that level
and
of talent.
My last point.
Yeah.
I don't think Daryl Morey loves him. I don't.
That's okay.
I don't. He doesn't Morey's have to. Morey's like shooters and scorers and guys that can get to the rim and really finish. I don't think Daryl Morey loves him, and I do believe he'll be out of here.
If he is, and it's for James Harden, I understand why.
Thank you.
Happy holidays. My man, I'll talk to you. 610-632-0975. For people who don't know D, he doesn't think I criticize Ben Simmons enough. I have a love-hate thing with Ben. More love than hate. But I come at him when I need to come at him. More people come at him all the time. I'm not that guy. I'm just not.
So when you guys were having that conversation, all I could go back to was there was a point where maybe in March, probably in like February or March, right before the league shut down, that you guys, meaning you and Joe Torti, were discussing the team, and somebody had, and it could have been D for all I don't remember, but somebody said that, you know, you don't talk negatively about Ben Simmons enough. And there's a cut, and I got to go back and try to find it, that I pulled for the bed music to the intro of the show, where you basically like, I don't have to do it every night. You guys know how I feel about it. You know, I'm not going to criticize the guy every single night because that would be, you know, that would be the same show 5 nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that you fairly have criticized Ben Simmons over the years and praise him when he deserves praise.
And oftentimes it's more so than anything else because he's good. I mean, it's legit. He is frustrating. I'm aware. I have more patience for a lot of things. Tobias Harris, yes, gets on my nerves a lot. Because, why? I see something in him, too. I've always liked him from afar. Then I get to see him closely here in Philadelphia. He puts up 19 again in his sleep. Easy. No problem. Doesn't have to work too hard. But what I want to see more is the outside shooting, because that's something that he has in his bag. The taking over a quarter if need be. A 5-minute stretch. Something along those lines. Do that stuff more consistently. Tobias Harris. I like the guy. I've always liked the guy. Critical of him because I like him. This is not a Tony Roten situation. Right? I like the guy.
Well, and I'll do the work for D this upcoming season and say that I will hold you accountable for conversations about Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons, because tonight, you know, half an hour ago, we talked about when you put pen to paper and you sign that big contract, expectations get raised. And
whose contract kicks in? Ben Simmons.
Exactly.
Yep.
So we will. It's December 22nd. Season starts in less than 24 hours. On this show, we will hold you accountable and hold myself accountable for the criticisms and praise that we have of one Ben Simmons.
100%. 100%. 610-632-0975. Let's go next to Connor in Pottstown here on the Fanatic. Connor, how you doing?
What's going on, Devon? How you doing?
Good, man. Basketball season is here.
Oh, listen, that was the first thing I was going to say to you is, God, after what the Eagles have done this season, this is just a breath of fresh air. It just feels it, and you can feel the positivity in the air around the city. And the one thing I actually want to talk to you about, and it's funny you and Tyler were just talking about it, was Ben Simmons. I don't know what it is, but I feel like this is the year where Ben Simmons will be what we believe to be the prince to LeBron James. Now, I'm not sure what it is. I think it's Doc Rivers. I know the caller before said Daryl Morey is not a fan of Ben Simmons, but I think that Ben Simmons has, I think he's heard a lot. I don't think these pro athletes really let the media get to their head, but I think they've heard a lot about he can't shoot, he's averaging outside of taking it to the hoop. And I feel like this is going to be Simmons' year.
I said that he would be Defensive Player of the Year. Now let's see what else follows. That's my belief.
I agree with that. I think that this is my bold prediction for you, since you were asking for it. Simmons, what, 16-9, 16-4? I think this year, 25 a game.
Wow. See, call back. Connor just said 25 points a game. 25 points a game. Wow. How about that?
I think him, then I think Tobias is in the upper 20s too. Maybe I'd say mid to lower 20s. I think this is him, because you said it yourself, 19 a game in his sleep. Like within in third gear, imagine what this fifth or sixth gear looks like. I just think, and Tobias getting Doc Rivers back, I think this is going to be big for both of them. 25, though, maybe I'm not wrapping my head around this number and I'm being overly optimistic, but I think Ben Simmons, I think this might be the year where he starts to do big things, because you've seen it. 5 points a game from someone that is getting paid, I forget how much the contract was, but to drop 5, 12, 14 a game is not, that can't be a franchise player. That's an off the bench. That's a lower starter at that point. So I think he does need to drop the big year, and I think it's coming.
Nah, well, that would be fantastic, man. That's a great bold prediction by you. And where does this team end up?
I think 44, 45 wins, third or fourth in the East. I think I don't think they're close to the Nets hump yet. I think that's a little bit of a jump for them to make. I think the Bucks live or die by Giannis, and I know they got Drew Holiday. They have really good pieces, but if Giannis can't pull off a big game, the Bucks seem to struggle with him. And I think the Heat are the wild card of all this. That obviously the Celtics, we know they're that doesn't need to go said, but I think the Heat are the one team where they can kind of throw the East for a little bit of a loop.
Interesting. I like it. I like it a lot. Connor, thanks for the call, man. Basketball is back. We'll be hearing from you, I'm sure, as the season gets underway. Happy holidays to you.
You too. Thank you, Tyler. If you can play the song for me, let's hear it.
Oh, look at that. Some midday show.
Let's go.
Love there. playing the song. We always love the song. I love when Andrew and Anthony do that during the midday show, 10 to 2 every day here on the Fanatic. Connor, thanks, man. You called for it. You got it. No question about it, man. Thank you, Connor. Oh, man, appreciate that. I love the song. I love the song. It's a classic song. Classic.
Would you have ever thought that probably 45, almost 50 years later, that song, because it was a, you know, early 70s song, would come back around and not just come back around, but be so wildly popular in the year 2020?
No. No. Nope. And nope. How about this? Duncan Smith of the NBA, right? Covers the Detroit Pistons in the league. Duncan Smith has the 76ers number two behind the Milwaukee Bucks in the Eastern Conference, in front of the Nets at 3, Raptors at 4, Heat 5, Celtics 6, Wizards 7, and the Hawks 8th. Pacers, Bulls, Magic, Knicks, Hornets, Cavs, Pistons round things out. You know I love DraftKings, so when it's time for those teams to be playing against somebody else, DraftKings Sportsbook, the app. You know what I'm saying. But let's go to the next. Mitch and Phoenix, quickly here on the Fanatic. Mitch, what's up, my man?
Yeah, I'm watching the Lakers get a beautiful championship ring. I mean, that thing is amazing.
I have it on in here. I cannot see the ring, but I see the guys walk. I just see Kyle Kuzma walking up and getting his ring.
Yeah, they did a hell of a job. When was the last time the Sixers won a championship? I forget.
1983.
So that's what, 28 years ago?
It's a long time ago.
Wow. Now let me ask you, as you're a basketball expert, looking at the roster of the 76ers, and you and I have had many discussions about Ben Simmons, what do you think? Where can they go with this roster?
I'll say that one more time. You cut out just a little bit.
With the current roster, the way it is, where do you see this team going? I don't see them beating up Milwaukee, Boston, Brooklyn, or Miami. What about you?
Like I just said, somebody in the league who covers the league has them second in the league. I have them in the fourth spot currently. Mitch, it's going to be tough. This Eastern Conference is going to be fun, man. When you look at, again, Milwaukee adding Drew Holiday and, coming back with Giannis signing that contract that he has. He's going to be there a while with Chris Middleton, so on and so forth, with what they already have in place. Then you go with the Nets and what they have done with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Outside of, you know, who I love for the Phoenix Suns, Kevin Durant is my favorite player, followed by Damian Lillard. He's going to be fantastic. You saw him tonight. He was tremendous in 25 minutes with 20-plus points. The Raptors have to get their respect. The Heat have to get theirs, and the Celtics as well. So it's going to be a tough East with the Wizards and the Hawks, Pacers fighting for that 7, 8, 9 spot in the East. It's not going to be easy for the Sixers, but I still think they're a top-four team in the East.
Brooklyn's loaded, huh?
Very, very good.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, well, we'll see. You know, like I said, you and I have talked about Ben Simmons since he's been on the team. But how about Markel Fultz getting a $50 million extension?
Hey, man, 3 years. Congratulations to him. All right.
Wow. 3 years. All right.
Congratulations to him. Mitch, happy holidays if we don't speak again, man. Thank you so much. Yes, 3 years, $50 million for Markel Fultz. And, you know, well-deserved because he worked. He never gave up. So I give him that. 50 might be a lot, but that's the Orlando Magic, looking at their core of young people with Aaron Gordon. Jonathan Isaac got an $80 million contract extension. They rewarded Markel Fultz. The year before, they paid Terrence Ross, Evan Fournier, right? All that great stuff. Markel Fultz, good for him. Good for him.
Whatever his agent did, they deserve a raise immediately.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible to land Markel Fultz $50 million. And yeah, I know it's over 3 years. That's what, 16 and some change over per year for 3 years? Something like that. A little more, maybe 17. That's incredible, the work that agent did.
Absolutely incredible. But you have to give him credit for never giving up. As ugly as his shot looked, how many people ridiculed things that he was doing out there on the floor, he still went through it, man. He kept doing it. He got it done. So, you know, hats off to him. Now let's see if he can follow it up and do something to make it bigger. Going forward. Let's just see what he does. All right, man, listen. If you did not hear any of the interviews with the 76ers personnel today, morning show, Doc Rivers, midday show, Seth Curry, afternoon show, Danny Green, and closing things out with us tonight, Tyrese Maxey. All are available on 975thefanatic.com. Check out the podcast. Don't stop. Hit one. Go to the next, and then close it out with Tyrese Maxey right there, 975thefanatic.com. Tomorrow, you'll hear a lot of basketball talk as we get ready for the start of the Sixers season. 7 o'clock tip-off on 97.5 The Fanatic, home of the 76ers. Brian Seltzer, 650, with the pregame coverage getting underway. Postgame, in the post, with me after the game, Sixers-Wizards here on The Fanatic. Tyler Zuli will be here as well. D. Lynam will join us for a segment, or at least a few minutes, after every game to give her breakdown on what she saw in the game every night. So that's a new wrinkle. We'll tell you about the rest tomorrow when we actually start up in the post at after the Sixers-Wizards game tomorrow. So everybody, thanks so much for listening in. Really appreciate the calls, the listeners, the tweeters, all above from 6 o'clock until we here we are signing off tonight. We'll talk to you tomorrow in the post following Sixers-Wizards right here, 97.5 The Fanatic. Good night.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.